Thank you. I got a click, and I must have clicked something earlier that was wrong. But right now, it's time to start. So welcome. We're glad to have everybody with us this morning, and there is quite a list there. So to begin with, I need to announce that the prayer vigil has been postponed until April 19th. And so if you're willing to be on the prayer vigil, call Lois and she will schedule you. At this point, too many thingies coming up here. We'll do this, this, and this, and this. If that's my intention. There we go. So, welcome. Again, we received information from Zoom that security things had been all changed, and we weren't even sure people would be able to get on this morning. But it looks like we've got a good crowd. The schedule for this Wednesday, I'm planning to have confirmation at 5 o'clock. Thursday at 10 o'clock, we'll have the Bible via Zoom. And that's another one of those learning curve things where I figured out why nobody was hearing sound. So we may back up a few weeks so that you can see the video, the DVDs that I was showing. It'd be a way of catching up. Thursday is Maundy Thursday, and we are having worship, and we will be trying out a way of doing communion online. If you would like to participate, you need to have some wine or grape juice, some bread at home. In our tradition, as long as worship is live and it is done personally and in community, it's valid. I don't need to touch the elements or even be near them to bless them. So, since Maundy Thursday is partly a celebration of the Last Supper and the institution of communion, that service will be live by Zoom. And we will do the same on Easter so that we can have communion at both services. Friday at noon, there is a Good Friday worship service sponsored by the Buffalo Ministerial Association. It will also be on radio station KBBS and Zoom and Facebook. I'm not sure about YouTube. And on Easter, we'll have the services at 9 a.m. here at St. Luke's and 11 o'clock at Union. So if you're interested in the daily devotions and receiving them, just ask that you be put on the Constant Contact email list, and we'll send them out a week at a time. And there are also printed copies available inside the north entrance of the church. The Easter pies that the youth are making for raising money for the church camp will be available. There are no new orders, but you can pick up, if you have ordered, you can pick up your pies on April 11th, the day before Easter, between 2 and 3. At this time, we will go into the service, and we have the processional gospel being read. Normally, I do it from the back of the church, and we process down. But you'll have to imagine, since you don't see me right now, you'll have to imagine that we're processing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says to you, just say this, the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately. This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in a turmoil, asking, who is this? The crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus of Nazareth in Galilee. That is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. We praise you, O God, for redeeming the world through our Savior Jesus Christ. Today we enter the holy city in triumph as was proclaimed Messiah and King by those who spread the garments on the branches along the way. Bless these branches and those who carry them. Grant us grace to follow our Lord in the way of the cross, so that joined to his death and resurrection, we enter into life with you through the same Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Hymn number 344, we'll sing the first three verses. Faithful in the small things that you ask us day by day, that we may see all that you reveal to us, give thanks in all circumstances, and grow toward the mind of Christ. In obedient trust, we enter this Holy Week eager to participate in a world transformed by love. Amen. The first reading is from the 50th chapter of Isaiah. The servant of the Lord expresses absolute confidence in his final vindication, despite the fact that he has been struck and spit upon. This characteristic of the servant played an important role in the early church's understanding of the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Isaiah writes, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn back. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? This is the word of God, the word of life. Thanks be to God." The second reading is from the second chapter of Philippians. Paul uses an early Christian hymn to help us comprehend Jesus' obedient selflessness on the cross, and how God has made Christ Lord over all reality. The perspective of the cross becomes the way we rightly understand God, Christ, our own lives, and fellowship with the community of Christ. Paul writes, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 26th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I betray him to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him, to one another, "Surely not I, Lord." He answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me." The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one if he had not been born. Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." He replied, "You have said so." This gospel for today is a really long one that encompasses the entire chapter, and we're abbreviating it some. But on Maundy Thursday, we'll remember that while they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Now at noon on Good Friday, we'll remember the crucifixion, death, and burial of Jesus. It'll be available on Zoom and Facebook and on radio station KBBS. But for today, this is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The first words out of the mouth of our three-year-old when we came back from a shopping trip was, "Hi, Mom. We're not going to tell you what we have for a surprise for your birthday." Well, the beans were spilled and Mom had to pretend to be surprised later on. It's kind of like our celebration of Holy Week, isn't it? We've heard the story so many times. We know the story. We've been there. We know the rest of the story. Easter is coming, and we know what's going to happen on Easter. And still, we kind of drag ourselves through this Holy Week. There have been predictions, but they were just predictions, right? Or were they? Were they more? Well, time will tell. And oh yes, I know, you've read the book too, and you've seen the ending. So, can we pretend that we don't know? There's a movie that I enjoy at this time of year normally. It's called Jesus of Nazareth. It's well done. And there is a point at which in the movie in which I get really upset. And there's a part of me that wants to change the story. It's the time when Jesus has just finished serving the Last Supper to the disciples, and he's inviting them to join him at the Garden of Gethsemane. And a part of me is crying, "Don't go, Jesus, don't go. I read the story, I know what they're going to do to you. Don't go." Yeah, theologically, I know that it's important that he does go, and he does. He doesn't particularly listen to me at that point in the movie. It never changes. It always goes that way. Today, we get to join the parade. Palms and all. Well, we don't have many palms today. Our palms did not arrive. There are two types of observers that we have in a parade. There are the tag-alongs, the spectators, who just love parades. Any parade will do. They're there hoping that they can get maybe some of the candy or the trinkets that are thrown out by the people in the parade. But that's all they want. They're there for the fun of it. But there are also the true followers. In today's gospel, the true followers gave what they had. They gave him the use of their donkey. Now, it wasn't a pickup or a tractor or a fire truck. It was just an ordinary donkey. But then, of course, the only thing Jesus ever rode on was a boat. that we know of. But these people, these true followers, paved his way with palm branches and laying their cloaks so that it would settle the dust, and with cheers, Hosanna in the highest. Isn't it interesting how God can use whatever we give him? Noah built him a boat, and he used that boat to save humankind. Moses offered his staff, which parted the Red Sea and brought water from a rock when the people were dying of thirst. David used a slingshot to put down the mighty Goliath. The widow of Zarephath gave her last oil and meal so that the prophet would have something to eat. The widow, in another story, gave her last mite. And a young boy offered his picnic lunch, a few loaves of bread and some fish, so that thousands could be fed. Now there's a difference between the tag-along and the spectator and the true believer. The spectator gives fearfully and selfishly. Remember the study I mentioned last week that showed that those who gave generously had healthier immune systems? In a time like this, we could use that. The true believer is prepared for the journey. They know it all belongs to God in the first place, and so they give thankfully. In a book by Max Lucado entitled On the Anvil, Stories of Being Shaped into God's Image, he talks about a blacksmith and how people fit into three categories with the blacksmith's tools. There is that pile of outdated, dull, rusty, broken tools that just lie there waiting to be thrown away. And then there are those that are on the anvil that have been heated in the forge. And they're being hammered and reshaped and recreated. It's a painful process, but they willingly go through that process to be changed into what the blacksmith wants them to be. And then there are the blacksmith's favorite tools, those that have been through the fire of the forge. They have been seasoned, and they have become part of what the blacksmith, the master, wants them to be, to serve in his workshop. Just as God sometimes allows us to go through those different things. Well, on our Lenten journey this Holy Week, we will hear the predictions. We've already heard many of them in the weeks of Holy Week, of Lent, rather. We've joined the parade, and now we peek at the next chapter, and we know what's going to happen. And there may be part of us, too, saying, Jesus, don't go there. But Jesus must go there. And the scriptures have spilled the beans. We know the good news on the other side of Easter. May we be more than spectators and tag-alongs. May we become the master's favorite tools. On Facebook, now I'm going to try to pull this up because, come on now. Here we go. If it comes up on the wrong one, there we go. On Facebook, I received something just the other day that I thought was really rather interesting. It talked about the number 40. Every time I have a Bible class, it seems like we talk about the importance of certain numbers in the Bible. And the number 40 is really significant. There are 40 days of Lent, and there are reasons for it. There were 40 days of the flood. There were 40 days that the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness before they could enter the promised land. There are 40 days of fasting in the desert where Jesus was tempted. 40 days of appearances of Jesus after his crucifixion and resurrection, before his ascension. There are 40 days of isolation, quarantine that have been called for by many in many areas. 40 weeks of gestation before a baby is born, and the number 40 in the Bible always refers to change, because every time it appears in the Bible, there is a major change taking place. The question that is raised in this particular article is, will something happen after these 40 days of quarantine? Already, they are saying their rivers are cleaning up, vegetation is growing, air is cleaner due to less pollution, the starry sky in the evening is visible even where it is covered with pollution, there are fewer thefts and fewer murders. Maybe there is something to this 40 days. The earth is on rest for the first time in many years. I think I would like to have us take advantage of those days. Because in the Bible, the number 40 always appears to be bringing about a change. So if we are in quarantine, let's enjoy it with the family. Could be a great blessing, and we will be able to see the changes God has made in our lives. If we add, this was something I thought rather funny, this is 2020, if you add 20 plus 20, you get 40. We could let that be God wanting us to take part in the changes he's taking into account. Another interesting thing is the word quarantine comes from Italian, and it literally means a period of 40 days. If it lasts 40 days, is God trying to change us? Well, that's a good question. So, a wise old preacher asked a student, what are your plans in the future? The student said, well, I'm going to law school. Well, he said, what then? I'm going to get married, have a family, and practice law. Well, what then? Well, I want to make lots of money, retire early, and travel around the world. The pastor asked, well, what then? The man said, well, that's it. That's all there is. And he was told, your plans are too small. Make plans big enough to include God and large enough to include eternity. May our Lenten journey prepare us to travel with Jesus through the cross and the empty grave into eternity. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. We'll sing, we'll go back to, I'm a little slow at this, but we'll get it. Here we are. We'll sing the last two verses of All Glory, Laud, and Honor as we go forward. They sang the Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Turning our hearts to God, who is gracious and merciful, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. God of mercy, awaken our church to new proclamations of your faithfulness. By your Spirit, give us bold and joyful words to speak, that we sustain the weary with the message of your redemption. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of mercy, drive away fear and anger that cause us to turn against one another. Give courage to leaders who seek liberation for the oppressed. Bring peace and hope to those who are in prison and those who face execution. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of mercy, send your saving help to all who suffer abuse, insult, discrimination, or contempt. Heal the wounded. Comfort the dying. Bring peace to those suffering chronic or terminal illnesses. Tend to all who cry out for relief. We pray especially for those suffering from the coronavirus and for Margie, Linda, Morgan's sister, and others we name in our hearts before you now. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Gracious Lord, we ask you to give a double measure of your Spirit to our joint call committees, to Don Scandling, Barb Millett, Peggy Bjerke, Cheryl Gerard, Kathy Ryman, Bill Hawley, Leslie Pearson, Loretta Funk, Dean Knauer, Scott Madsen, and Walker Silvernagel. Bless also our church councils with your wisdom. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. God of mercy, we pray for all who will prepare and lead worship in this Holy Week. In all things, show us the ways that you call us to die to self, to live for you, and to give ourselves for the sake of others. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. God of mercy, when we breathe our last, you raise us to eternal life. With all your witnesses in heaven and on earth, let us boldly confess the name of Jesus Christ, our resurrection and our hope, who has taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For 30 pieces of silver, Jesus Christ was betrayed, and still today he is denied in the way we use the resources entrusted to us. God does not ask us to be a token of support. God asks us that we, calls us to give out of our, to give our all, of which our offering here is put, to which our offering is but a symbol. Will our gifts shout good news to the world? During the temporary suspension of Sunday worship at St. Luke's, offerings may be mailed to the church, and if you're from Union Congregational Church, mail them to Dick Ryman. Let us pray. May these offerings bring life-changing good news, both to those who give and to all who are reached by the caring ministries of the church. May they help to restore relationships of trust among us and outpourings of generosity that echo your steadfast love around the world. May your saints be raised to new life that cuts through the deceptions of society to bring your new order among us. O God of all times and places, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Lord, look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Let us go in peace and serve the Lord. And I can hear you all echoing, thanks be to God, we will.